and that they can only come from one place, Japan. You know? Like, if it's not from champagne, it's technically sparkling wine. So, when people say, hey, we're making a JRPG, and you're like, oh, awesome, where are you guys from? And they're all like, Iowa. You're like, fucking no, you're not. You might be making a console-style role-playing game. Though even that kind of end-around has lost a lot of its meaning lately. It used to be you could talk about computer RPGs and console RPGs, and that would be the meaningful distinction. Is it like Ultima? YN? You know, that's, you know, stuff like that. I don't know, like, yeah, Japanese role-playing games got all cinematic and like, I guess they always kind of were, but then the cinematics became more grandiose in a way that was, at some point, I was just like, I'm not super into that. So, I was never deep into the genre to begin with, and when Final Fantasy VII came out, it was just like, okay, no, I don't want to play any part of this, this is fucking dumb. So that was that, more or less. I liked Persona 1. For the same reason that a lot of people, I think, like Undertale now. Or, one of the reasons, anyway. I like the idea of being able to talk to the enemies. I thought that was a cool idea then. Yeah, I don't know. I liked, I liked what was Phantasy Star 2 at the time. 4, if you want to get all technical about it. I thought that was a pretty good game. And I thought Phantasy Star 2 was really good. And I thought Phantasy Star 3 was still pretty good, even though everyone loves to shit on that game now. At the time, I thought that their whole Generations thing was neat. And then, the Shin Megami Tensei games, the other ones have had the negotiation stuff, but I just didn't really like those games that much. But yeah, I liked Persona 1. I thought the setting was, you know, the whole like, kind of high school thing, I thought was cool. And being able to talk to the enemies, I thought was pretty rad. And then Persona 2, I did play it. I don't remember too much about it, other than there was a part that came out in Japan that never came out here, and I always thought that was weird. And then, I don't know, I thought, like, Suikoden was an alright game. 1 and 2, I guess. Maybe just 2, I forget. But, like, I don't know. Like, I was playing those games for work. I wasn't, like, super passionate about that stuff. Yeah. I didn't play Phantasy Star 4 because it came out kind of late, right? It was super expensive and I'd kind of moved on to other stuff. And so I've actually never played Phantasy Star 4. Maybe I should. But at this point, if I was going to play Phantasy Star 4, I would probably just actually cheat my way through it, which is maybe a little less interesting, but, you know, I'm just like, give me infinite hit points, let's just go. Let's see with this game, and not necessarily play this game. Maybe I should actually do that. It might be fun. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Like, as soon as it became like a thing, and I, you know, maybe the internet ruined those types of games. I'm not really sure, but you know, like there were a ton of them coming out for a while, like in the wake of Final Fantasy VII being as popular as it was, and I just thought a lot of that stuff was shit. And I didn't like the direction that more and more of those games took after Final Fantasy VII. Just kind of leaning on the cinematics and you know, the gameplay just got, you know, it's like all those, the reason those are tropes, all the fucking reluctant kid saving the world, you know, like all that stuff is real, you know, like that's, like, there was just a period of time there where it just seemed like there was a bunch of fucking dumb shit getting pumped out. And, you know, some things here and there would have interesting elements of it. Like, was it, like, Ark the Lad or, you know, some of that other shit had stuff. But, you know, there were so many other games coming out at that point that it wasn't necessarily... Yeah, like, I was never a big Grandia fan. I did not have room in my life to care about Grandia or Thousand Arms or... Vandal Hearts? Is that a... Or is that more of a strategy thing? I forget. At some point, a lot of it blended together. So, you know, by the time Final Fantasy Tactics came out, I was so not into Final Fantasy and stuff of that nature that I was just like, look, I don't even want to play FFT. It's just, like, not interesting. I know a lot of people love Tactics, but I just... Could never get into it. Yeah, so I don't know. Part of it is time, and part of it is just like the. Like, all that stuff became. Like, a lot of it felt like fan service for a genre in a weird way, you know? It wasn't like. It wasn't like these were like long-running franchises that people were like, oh, I can't wait to see the next this character, you know, or whatever. Like, sure, some of them sequelized and built up stuff, but yeah, at some point it just felt like there was a machine and people. There was an El Machino, but instead of turning the crank and getting fresh tortillas out, Japan was turning the crank and role-playing games were coming out, you know? So yeah, I just didn't care, and it was one of those things where it just felt like that genre just continued to fucking crawl up its own ass, until there weren't enough people left to really support it. You know, instead of, like, continuing to widen and attract more people. You know, like, Final Fantasy VII could have been a flashpoint in the other direction, if you think about it. Like, instead of being this thing that people chased, and then the end result was fewer and fewer people giving a fuck about all those games. You know, eventually, I mean, for a time, the Final Fantasy VII effect, I'm sure, was real. And, you know, it led to games selling more than they should have. Eventually, yeah, it just disappeared up its own ass. And totally. That's why games like Persona did stand out, I think. You know, because they were doing something meaningfully different. Even if the first-person stuff in that first Persona game, like the dungeon stuff, was not great. I like Sword of Vermillion. That was a good game. And obviously the combat's action-y and stuff, but... I liked that at the time. And yeah, now, but, you know, obviously Square kept making Final Fantasy games, and it just seems like they just took them in weirder and weirder directions. Like, everything, you know, I didn't play fucking Lightning Returns or whatever, but just, like, looking at the 13 games and just going, like, fucking what? But, yeah, I don't know. I burned out on them at a point where, like, then playing something like Earthbound seemed completely out of the question. It was just like, nope. And same with, like, Chrono Trigger. And then still for Chrono Cross, it was just like, I don't want any fucking part of any of that stuff. I loved Dragon, like the, you know, Dragon Warrior, if you will. The first, you know, that game was fucking awesome. And then those games got weird. I don't know, like, I didn't give a long look to the more recent Dragon Quest games, but, at the same time, like, it just, you know, I don't know, those things started looking... very much not for me, but I, you know, I don't know. I really liked, I guess, you know, Dragon Quest One, the first one. And I know the next couple were pretty well regarded, I guess, right? At the time, anyway. I don't know how they're thought of these days, but. It's easy to sit here and say, like, oh, man, it'd be cool if someone made a, you know, that type of role-playing game and stuck to kind of the general production levels and general style that was used back in, you know, the 8 and 16-bit eras. But, you know, then people do that and they go, like, oh, actually, I don't actually want to recapture those times very much either. So, yeah, I don't know. I have an interest in those specific games that I'm already relatively familiar with, and then, you know, at some point that's kind of it. So. But, you know, I actually thought that Final Fantasy XV demo was interesting, if nothing else. I was just like, oh, well, this seems like it plays okay. Maybe it'll be cool. 15 seemed cool enough to where I guess I do want to give that a shot when it's finally out. But I don't know. And then, like, I don't know, everyone is freaking out about Undertale, and I think that, like, there are some amazing things. Like, there are mechanically really interesting things about Undertale that other games don't do. But I don't especially like Undertale. I certainly respect Undertale. But I will respect it from a safe distance. Thank you very much. I hear it's the best game ever made, though, so that's cool. This guy continuing, you know, it pops up now and then, much like, you know, it's like tennis elbow or like, you know, a trick knee or something. It's this feeling that says, like, man, I should actually try playing Sword of Vermillion again. I wonder if it would hold up. I bet it kind of wouldn't. I might do a little internet live streaming in the relatively near future. Maybe I'll mess around with some of that stuff. Or I could mess around with the new Super Mario Maker update, which is, I guess, due out pretty soon here. They're adding fucking, they're adding doors that only work when a P-switch is active. And I don't know if you can, I watched a video that made it look like you might be able to see the outline of the door when you're not, when a P-switch is not active. But I'm not sure. And then a clown car that can shoot, which seems like it could be a real messed up thing to inflict upon someone, depending on how the AI is at shooting at you. I'm interested in trying that. And then, you know, big donuts, big bumpers. That's cool, too. I have an idea for a level that I want to make, like, kind of what I want to do with it, and now I think I'll probably wait until that update hits, before I do it. There were a couple things, watching Patrick play through that most recent level that I'd put out. He finished it this morning, so... congratulations to him for that. That's pretty awesome. And there were some things where he, like, thought the solution was something else, and the thing that he thought of was way harder and way crazier than the thing that I had thought of, and now I want to go back and make that level. You know? Like, there are a couple of ideas that he just kind of tossed out there. I'm like, ooh, that would actually be really fucked up. That would be a good thing to do. I should totally do that. So there are a couple of things there that I want to experiment with. And these P-switch doors, I think, present a real... like, I had an idea for... so the most recent level that I have, it's got a spot in it where there's the little plants that you can't spin jump on. Are they chompers? I forget what they're actually called. Dan would know. He's weird like that. Anyway, there's a spot where there's a door that's one space up, and you have to throw a P-switch onto these plants, and you cannot spin jump off of the chompers. The regular plants you can, but the chompers will kill you. Anyway, so there's a spot where you have to throw a P-switch, and you really only get one shot to throw that P-switch, because you can't go get it afterwards. Because, you know, you would die. Munchers. Chomp munchers. Sure. Sure, fanfiction. Fanfiction wiki. So I was thinking that there should be a spot where you have to stack two P-switches on top of each other, and they both have to be throws like that. So you have to throw a P-switch and then throw a P-switch on top of that P-switch. Is kind of what I'm thinking. And then there's a door. You know, you can get, so you have to, like, double toss your P-switches and then time your fucking door press real well. And now I'm thinking, what if... that door was a P-warp door, which is coming in the new update, so that door was only active when a P-switch was active... so you have to double stack P-switches and then activate a P-switch to get through the door. Now let's take that one step further. What if on the other end of that door was a bunch of coins that turned into blocks such that the P-switch had to be active, and it was a specific distance so that you had to triple stack the P-switches? So that there's a P-switch, like, blocking the door, basically. And then you have to jump, activate the top P-switch, and then go through the door without activating the next one, because if you activate the next one, you will fall all the way down and die. That's where I've gone. That's where I'm going. That's the hell that exists inside my head now. Some people suggested some fucked up traps in a level with a checkpoint. So if you looked at all at Patrick over the past couple of days as he's been playing through this last level I made, he left his Wii U on for two nights so that he didn't have to, so that you could, because there's a checkpoint. And if you hit the checkpoint, you have to die to restart at the checkpoint. If you pause and hit start over, it starts the entire level over. So, some people suggested, well, what if you made it so that there were traps in that level that were spikes, but also a bunch of, also stars, you know, pipes or cannons or whatever that are constantly shooting out stars. So that you're stuck in this spike trap, but also invincible. And the only way out, if you want to restart at the checkpoint, would be to let time expire. Because if you hit pause and hit start over, you would lose your checkpoint. I don't know that I'll do that. I think that's... Like, the last level I made is actually full of stuff designed to slow the level down and add a level of, add that kind of, like, a little bit of tedium in between moments, so you kind of have, like, these moments where, like, execution is kind of everything. It's like, okay, you have to do this. But then it's just enough like, well, keep going. Okay, now you have to go through this pipe. This pipe just leads to more coins, but it's the direction you have to go in. There's nothing tricky about it. You just have to do it. And every time you die, you're going to have to do it again. And it'll be just enough screen changes to, maybe lull you into a false sense of security. Like, oh, I've got all this early part down. And then the speed change, the change in tempo and difficulty and stuff like that would then kind of trick people into dying on things that are not actually that hard, which I feel like this level was mostly successful at. There's some stuff that, and also I'd originally thought about that level as being like also kind of a time crunch. I knocked the time down a lot lower, but the presence of a checkpoint kind of nullifies the immediate, like the need to race against the clock. So that part didn't work out so well. Yeah, triple stack of P-switches, and you have to throw them, and you only get one shot to throw them. And then you have to punch the first P-switch on your way down and go through a door. I think that's... that's something I want to see. That's something I don't know that I would put that... I don't know what I would eventually do with that, but that's... I kind of want to at least look at that and see what it looks like. See just how hard that is. Because I wonder, you know, the angle of... like, the way the P-switch travels when you kick it, and when you kind of jump and kick it off, like, is such that it might not actually be possible to... to do what I'm saying, you know? Yes, Yoshis can ride on top of the munchers or whatever. Which is why you definitely would not put a Yoshi in that situation. Because the whole point of it is, like, it's asking the player to make three perfect throws in a row. Which is, like, you know, fucking terrible. Break level. No, I don't believe I have. Can you throw a shell at a P-switch? I know a thwomp can activate a P-switch. I'm not actually sure. That was something else I was thinking about, like, going and testing, like, what you can put on top of a P-switch to make it go off. Like, can you throw a POW block at a P-switch and activate it? Because that'd be kind of cool. Like, here's a P-switch that you actually can't reach, but you bring an item over there and you can throw it at it and activate it. That'd be kind of cool. I wish they would add keys and keyholes. Like the secret exit Mario World stuff, and let you start just, like, working in your own exits instead of always having the flagpole or whatever at the end. Just, you know, have those as alternate exits that, you know, take you to the same place because you're not building worlds or whatever, but just then that would let players just fucking wall off the entire end of the level. So, like, alright, we're not going to the traditional end of the level. You don't know where it's going to be. It could be in the subworld, it could be anywhere. That'd be kind of cool. I feel like that's a little too more information than needed. It'd be nice if you could put even if it was just the standard exit, if you could put it in the subworld, so you don't really know quite where the exit's going to be. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking to make the hardest levels in the world. I think, you know, also, you know, for one reason, because I have to beat the levels to upload them. So there's a lot of stuff you can do that is just, you know, unreasonable.
make him carry something through the door that he needs to instantly throw to switch before falling into a coin platform. Maybe. It depends on what activates switches, but you could make it so you fall through a door and you then have to, like, push to a direction to trigger a thwomp that would then fall on a P-switch. It just depends on how fast everything falls. That seems like it'd be doable. That could be kind of cool, actually. Like, this kind of race to the bottom with a thwomp. And you have to make sure the thwomp gets there first. Though, no, I mean, you don't have any control over your falling speed. You just have to make sure you trigger it nice and early. Or as early as you can.
Swamp on top of background platform so it wouldn't fall through and you could throw the switch up to it.
Yeah. Yep. So you take a switch through a door and then immediately have to kick it up. It goes through one of those kind of one-way platforms as a thwomp is falling because the thwomp would be above you. You might actually just be able to throw it into a fallen thwomp and that might activate it.
Two. I'm not sure.
These are all things worth experimenting with.
Yeah, no fences, no diagonal surfaces to slide on and stuff.
No evil sun. No desert background, no pokies. That's the cactus guy, right? Pokey. No Phantos. Phantos from 2, you know, it's like, I can at least understand why there's no Phanto. I guess actually, our deserts, I mean, there's deserts and Pokies in 3, right? Or no, this is a Pokies in World, because Yoshi can... Yoshi eats those, right? There are no fruits for Yoshi to eat. Yoshi can't get turtle shells, and you know, like, there's no colored turtle shell concept. There's a level that I starred, so if you're playing the game and, you know how to get to my account page or whatever, that I played last night, there was like a shopping mall level, and it was just super inventive. Like, there's just so much stuff in there that's just nuts in terms of using platforms to raise bullet bill launchers up to clear pathways to kind of, you know, so you're kind of like opening the path ahead in ways that I just never considered. It's really cool. But you can eat... Yoshi can also eat the airship flames and get fire that way, too. So there are multiple ways for Yoshi to get fire. But fire doesn't seem all that useful, and you know, that's not... I mean, I'm sure that you could build some stuff around that. but that's not that interesting, because most of the stuff, I'm trying to think of, like, things that a fireball would kill that Yoshi couldn't just eat, because originally I was like, oh, you could put, like, a zillion turtle shells, and then you spit the fire, you know, you steal fire from a, from one of those, jet booster things, and then just blast a bunch of stuff in a row or something, assuming it goes through them. And I was like, actually, you could just eat all those turtles or eat one of them and spit the turtle shell, so that's not that interesting. But if a fireball kills, like, a thwomp or some other stuff, maybe that would be... Or I guess you could make it giant, right? Like, Yoshi can't eat giant stuff. Or he can't always eat giant... I'm not sure on the rules on that. There's also a crazy thing in that game where if you spin jump at a thwomp that's fully trapped in, like if you're using a thwomp to try to, like, barricade a, you know, a path, like I did, you can actually just spin jump at that thing, and if you hit it just right, you can spin right through it, which is fucked up. It's weird and kind of unreliable, but you can do it. Oh, this tunnel. Drank my tunnel drink 45 minutes ago. This is... a real tragedy. Should have brought a second drink and saved it for the tunnel, but... I skipped breakfast this morning, so, So I ate some kind of protein bar, and got in that tunnel drink early. Why is this guy in the tunnel putting on his blinker? What the fuck? Why would you try to get out of this fucking lane? We're almost out of the tunnel. Like, stop trying to make it even harder. It feels like I just got gas, but according to my car, I'm damn near out of gas. May have made a tactical error by staying in this lane. These guys are turning left. No, wait. What is this? This big truck is doing something even crazier. What is... Okay, well... we have undone what could have been a more costly mistake, I suppose, but I still don't know what's going on up here. Road work of some kind. When did pumps get the dumbass media network that dumps ads on you for the duration of your fueling?
Yeah, it's been a while. That may very well be the CBS audience network that you're watching. If we had videos that were short and not full of cursing, we would have an opportunity, I think, to submit our stuff to the audience network and potentially get on a gas pump, which I know is my lifelong dream. I don't know, last time I think I was seen in that type of context, it was GameSpot video reviews being shown at Costco on their TVs. Like there was a period of time where you might see my face in a Costco. And now Chris Waters is all over Target in an alarming fashion. So much Chris Waters. Sideways TVs with full-length Chris Waters on them. Talking to you about, I don't know, probably Star Wars Battlefront or something. I've made a mistake. Mistakes were made. Mistakes have been made. Kind of blocking an intersection. Kind of, sort of. I mean, alright, there's someone blocking it way worse than me, so they're the actual problem. I'm just kind of...
part of the marketing thing they did, Black Ops 3. I don't know. GameSpot does a lot of that stuff, that kind of sponsored content type stuff. And they bring in other people to do it sometimes. So it's like, here's, like, Greg Miller playing Rainbow Six Siege, and Ubisoft paid for the whole thing. There's, like, yeah, I don't know. That's... they do stuff like that. But yeah, they do segregate it out. I mean, the people that are in that sort of stuff are not the people that are reviewing games and that sort of stuff. You know, Waters did at one point write a lot of reviews, but he's kind of on the other side of it now. So they're, you know, they're doing what they need to do to keep that stuff straight. It's a bummer. I feel like I left earlier and I'm not actually getting where I'm going any earlier. Yeah, I don't know. I would not be opposed to writing a book at some point, I guess. I don't really know what how I would structure something like that. Because it's just a lot of, like, weird one-off stories about, like, here's what really went on here. Here's what really went on here. And, you know, it's just, like, not really that connected in a lot of cases. Oh, big stretch. Yeah. Turning in the alley. What are you doing? What are you doing? Seriously, what are you doing? Go. Fuck. Dumbass. They were stopping to let someone out of the car or what, but they stopped basically like in the middle of where I need to turn to get into this alley. I don't know. Oh, this alley is jumping off. Maybe I'll get to sit here for like half an hour or something now. There we go. All right. I gotta go. That's Thursday. Yeah, let's do some Thursday stuff. I'll see you later.